You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Everyone have Luke 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to this reading of your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Everybody got a handout? Great. Well, let's start. Father, we pause now to study your word, and we thank you for the time set aside to do that. Lord, we pray that although Sunday it seems easy to come and put an hour in with your word, Lord, we pray that each one of us would be encouraged to take your Bible, your written word, even yourself, and spend time with you each and every day that we might get to know you better. Lord, we again thank you for this assembly, the people that put forth work and effort here, and we thank you for just the freedom to come and praise your name, Lord. Pray for the lesson to follow. It'd be a blessing to everyone here, individually and collectively. If there be any error, please strike it out. But, Lord, what's true and your word's truth, Lord, we thank you for that. And bless it as we go forward. For in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Well, it seemed appropriate that we sang happy birthday to Charlie, because the lesson today is about birthday. Now, you might think, well, what do you mean a birthday? Well, this Friday, on September 29th, this will be, as far as we can tell according to Scripture, the true reckoning of the birth of Christ. Some of you may have heard this story. Some of you may have not. But it's always apropos to set aside time and to honor this day, not only because when it's your birthday, you want a cake, right? You want a cake and you want candles. Except maybe in Charlie's case, he may not want candles. But he wants a cake, right, Charlie? You want a cake? That's right. And I tell you, as birthdays go, there's a show that Carter has, it's one of his favorite shows, not that I enjoy it. It's called SpongeBob SquarePants. Now, you can tell I'm father of a seven-year-old when I'm sure you're all up on SpongeBob SquarePants. And there's an episode where SpongeBob and his neighbor, Squidward, who's a squid, they all live under the sea, and his best friend, Patrick, who's a starfish, and SpongeBob's a little sponge. And the antics these guys do are just hilarious. It's really funny. But one day they decide that Squidward, who lives in between these two and regrets it every day, they decided it'd be his best day ever. And they went and they were going to give him a birthday party. So they went over there and they gave him, you know, they're singing happy, happy birthday from all of us to you. Hey, you know, they're going, and you can see the look on Squidward's face. He's sitting here just. And at the very end, after about, I'm sure, hours of enduring this, they all leave happy, Patrick and SpongeBob, and he escorts them to the front door and he pauses and he screams. He goes, "It's not my birthday." So, but at least they got a party. And on December 25th, each and every year, boy, we all, it's a big hullabaloo, isn't it? I mean, we gear up, and it used to be, it was the day after Thanksgiving that we gear up for December 25th. But now they've backed it up. Now it's before Thanksgiving. You'll start to see Christmas things start to come out because they want you to go out and buy things. They want you to go out and get those gifts and get those icicle lights that you didn't put up last year, but you regretted because you should have, yeah, because everybody had them. If you didn't have them, you were not in. What's it going to be this year? You know, it's going to be something other than icicle lights because everybody had them last year. Maybe we'll get one more year out of it. Let's set a new trend. Let's do something other than that. But everybody's going to gear up for that. And boy, I mean, everybody's going to be, and it's going to be. But, you know, yet every year when that time comes and they're celebrating a birthday, the Lord up in heaven saying, "It's not my birthday." September 29th is his birthday. Now, how do we know this? Well, we're going to touch on two things today. We're going to touch on the mechanics of this, and we're going to touch on the meaning of it. Okay, and if we have enough time, we'll get through that. If not, then I think Derek's going to give me next week maybe to finish up. But, you know, so what? September 25th, or 29th, versus December 25th. So what? I mean, it's all, you know, we still celebrate the birthday. We still, you know, worship that. Well, the record is such, it was given to us that we're not to be ashamed handling the Word of God accurately, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And the record shows that in Luke chapter 1, we find the ability to nail the date of when the Lord was born based on the course of Abia that we see here with Zacharias, who's a priest, who is responsible for the course of Abia, and his wife, Elizabeth. They're going to have a son who's going to be John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is a forerunner to the Lord, and we're able to pinpoint the Lord's date because of basically tracking from the course of Abia through the birth of John the Baptist into the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to walk through that here, and that's the mechanics of it. But then we'll probably wrap up with the meaning of it, with the meaning of what's this all about. And I think it is so apropos today when come this Friday, you know, this is the 24th, come Friday the 29th. What's the world going to be doing on that day? Is everybody going to stop and pause and have a birthday party for the Lord? Absolutely not. That day is going to come and go as fast as every other day goes. And that day is going to come and go where everybody's going to be concerned about what's the football game the next day, or where am I going to go, you know, what date have I got that night, or, you know, which party should I go to. It's going to be everything but thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ on His birthday. And that is so typical of how He came into this world, isn't it? He came in a manger, not in a fancy, you know, hospital nowadays. Boy, we've had, you know, two children, and the first one was in Mercy, and the second one was in Renaissance. Wasn't too fond of that place. But even then, I'm sure it was a Taj Mahal compared to, you know, where the Lord was born into. I mean, it was more like, you know, fast food having a baby at that place. But we kind of felt the same way when we were there. There was no room in the inn. We showed up. We had timed it. We showed up. It was Thursday morning, and we were going to go in, check in, and have a baby. You know, where today's world, that's the way you do it. You check in. Oh, it's 7 a.m. We got to go. By 1 p.m., we're going to have a baby. And we show up, and they say, what are you doing here? You know, I'm sorry, you know, we had an appointment. And there was no room. Everybody had a baby, you know, the previous day. So they said, why don't you wait in the lobby? Well, you know, I did about 10 minutes of that, and I said, tell you what, we're going to wait at home. You give me a call when you're ready. So we're waiting, you know, the clock tick, tick. And then about noon, they call and say, well, how about tomorrow? So we, you know, postpone it a day. So we, you know, we hang around till the next morning. We show up. What are you doing here? Well, there's no room in the inn. That's what you said yesterday. Well, I'll tell you what, we got a closet for you. So they rolled in a bed, they rolled in the monitoring equipment, and they said, here you go, and then we're going to start countdown to kickoff. And the best thing about it was there's no bathroom in the room, so she was getting an IV where she had to go to the bathroom all the time, and she's walking out into the lobby, going to the bathroom. This was Clayton. This was Clayton's glorious birth, but I tell that story because, to me, that was just awful. Yet here the Lord humbled Himself and was born in a barn with animals. I would have had 8 lawyers lined up suing people. We just can't have that. You know, we're way above that. There's just no way. Yet the Lord, and so come this Friday, we'll be busy. Will we pause and say, Lord, this is Your birthday. The very Savior of the world. Well, let's look at the mechanics. Then we'll get back into the meaning of that. Luke chapter 1. Here we have Luke saying in verse 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things which wherein thou hast been instructed. See, this is the record. And there's a lot of tradition around Christmas that is in error. One tradition is the birth. He was actually born on that day. Another tradition is about the wise men. So there are traditions that we can look at. And it's all about to be approved unto God. If the record's here, why fight or, you know, go against the record? So here we have the record that in the days of Herod, verse 5, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they both were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both now were well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, this lot was to burn incense, and he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, they're stopping in verse 9 here for a little bit. Why would Luke be so specific here? Well, because God, a lot of times in Scripture, when he has written this for us, he's given certain little tidbits, and we call these little time edicts. Because what he's done here is he's done a couple of things. One is he said, in verse 5, in the days of Herod, there was a king of Judea, a certain priest, and here we have a priest named Zacharias, and he was of the course of Abia, or Abijah. This course of Abijah was set forth back in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 1. And if you look at your handout, I've got those verses there for you. Chapter 24, really verses 7 through 19, talk about the order of the priestly function and what tribe that fell unto. And we see in verse 10 that the 7th to Hekaz and the 8th to Abijah. This is the same that we're talking about here. So when we go back to Luke 1 in verse 8, we see that he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. This is the course of Abijah. This is the 8th course, and it was one of 2 times per year. Now, this service that they do twice a year, you have a reckoning in from a calendar. You have our calendar, which is the Gentile calendar, and then you have the Jewish calendars, and you have one, the civil Jewish calendar and the sacred Jewish calendar. Now, those are things that you can just run off, and you do a lot of study on that, but I'm going to have to net it out for you, that we're going to give you a table then on page 1 of your handout where you can see a comparison between the sacred month, which is what the priest would, who performed the priestly office, what they would adhere to in order to servicing their courses when they're actually to go into the temple and perform their priestly function, one of which here was mentioned in verse 9, that Lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Well, so as he's doing this, it can be one of 2 times a year. It can either be, through study, we find that the course of Abia can either be in December, the second week of December, or about approximately the 3rd week in June. Okay? So if you were to flip your page, it's page 2 of your handout, and I regret I should have completed this little chart for you, but you're gonna work it with me. So I've got the answers. It's like that teacher, you know. Don't you hate those teachers that do that? They give you just enough to get you lost. And they go, but I've got the answer worked out right here. I don't see what your problem is. So we've got 2 possible courses here. Now, I'm going to try and keep this simple. Get a writing utensil, get something to write on. And on the first circle, we'll do the first course of Abia. And the second circle, we'll do the second course of Abia. Okay? Now, this circle represents a calendar year. You have January, February, March, April, and that's what the letters stand for. So in the first course of Abia, according to our calendar year, would be back in the second week of December. So draw a little line right there, a little after the D, and write the first course of Abia. And the second course of Abia, on the second circle, draw a line that says second course of Abia right about mid-June. That would be between the 2 J's down there on the second course. And that's the second course of Abia. Now, we're going to fill this in as we go along, but I wanted you just to keep in mind that about the first and the second potential course. Now, what we're going to do is the rest of the chapter of Luke gives us some tidbits as we go along that we're able to pick up and fill in the circle. And by the end of this, we're going to not only know when the Lord was conceived, we're going to know that when Mary visited and the babe leaped in the mother's womb for John the Baptist, we're going to see when John the Baptist was born, and we're going to see that John the Baptist was born about 6 months prior to the Lord's birth. Okay, so we're going to pick all that up as we go through the scripture here. Okay, so now let's go back to Luke. So you need to keep your circles available as we go through Luke. We're going to start filling this in. All right, so verse 10, Luke 1:10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And the Lord appeared unto him, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now, you know what struck me there, verse 15. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from where? Excuse me. And what a, you know, is it any wonder that a Christian has any problem with the issue of abortion? Because the Bible is so clear, not only in here the story of the Lord's birth, that so much activity and recognition goes on before the actual, when they became indwelling among us, when you know, after the 280 days of gestation. In those 280 days, here it says, you know, John, he was filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. You know, Psalms 139:13. I'm going to go there real quick. Psalms 139:13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I won't even go down that path, but just every time you get into Scripture, and it's just so confirming. But here we have John the Baptist, filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. In many, verse 16, of the children of Israel shall they turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Well, there's another study we could go down. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Let's make a little, you know, in meetings, whenever you're in the corporate room and you start meetings and you get these rabbit trails, what we do is we get a whiteboard and we say, we'll come back to that one later. So we write it down, but we don't get off course. So we'll write that one down and we'll talk about the spirit and power of Elijah later. But to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So here's the calling of John the Baptist. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Well, that's a case of the mouth running off right there. he shall not be able to speak. It's funny here, you know, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, he was what? He was struck, you know, and then he was, I think he was blinded, right? And here he was dumb that he couldn't speak. But in any case, verse 21, the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Now, verse 23. Here you have, he lived in Judah, which was a short, long story short, about 30 miles journey from where he served in the temple. So, the record here says 30 miles, and for Zacharias being an old man, that he probably took him a day or two to travel those 30 miles to get home to be with his wife Elizabeth. And I thought, well, God, 30 miles, day or two, an old man. What about me? About 30 weeks, you know. I'll start walking down and I'll let you know when I get there. But back then, for them, it was pretty much a custom to travel like that. So here you have then, he gets home and is with his wife. So here we have now the time frame where we could have the conception of John the Baptist. So in your circle, in the course of Abia, put right before January, draw a little tick right after the course of Abia, and you can put JTB conceived, question mark. John the Baptist. That was the first course of Abia. Or is that in the second course of Abia? That would be right before the July, the J in July. That would be John the Baptist conceived. Okay, so that's where we go along now. Verse 24, after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month the angel of Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, cast in her mind, what manner of salutation shall this be? And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found a favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall call the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary sent an angel, how shall this be, saying, I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which thou shalt be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Okay, so Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. So, what do we have here? We had a couple of references to what? 6 months. So here we have 6 months ago. So from the time that you drew the conception of John the Baptist, kind of go over to 6 months from there. So in the first circle, you would have towards the J in July, the end of June, or over here, you would have towards the end of December that the Lord was conceived in the second course of Abia. That would be Lord conceive right then. I think you're probably starting to see a pattern here, right? We know 9 months from when someone's conceived, 280 days, you have what? A birthday. Number zero, the first birthday. So, here we have that. Now, let's go to verse 39. Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. So there we know that they were living in Judah. And when it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 41. So Mary visits Elizabeth, and John the Baptist leaps in her womb at about 6 months and some few days old. So really, in the second course of Abia, that would put it about right January time frame, January 1st, or July 1st in the first course of Abia, that this leaping of joy, I'm seeing some faces. So we had 6 months into after the conception of John the Baptist, Mary's going to pay a visit, and that's where we are right now. Let's go to verse 57. We'll speed this up a little bit. Now Elizabeth's full time was come that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her son. So this would put the first course of Abia, the end of September would be John the Baptist is born. Okay, so put your ticky there. JTB born 9 months after the conception, or approximately March, the end of March, John the Baptist born in the second course of Abia. Verse 58, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had shown great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the 8th day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, this is none of any of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how would have him called. He asked for a writing table and wrote, his name is John. And they marveled all. His mouth was open immediately and his tongue loosed. And he spake and praised God. And here we have verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." And he went on, and verse 80, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel." So, boy, you know, Zacharias had to be going, boy, that was something else. Didn't get to speak for 9 months. But if this is the case, John the Baptist born, then 6 months later, since we know that the Lord was conceived 6 months after John the Baptist, because we saw that earlier in Luke, that's basically now 6 months later from the birth of John the Baptist, we have the birth of Christ. And this is either in, according to, if he was doing it in the first course of Abia, that would put Jesus Christ born towards the end of March. But if it was the second course of Abia, that would put him born at the end of September. So let's recap what we learned here. So put a ticky at the end of September, and what we know, more finite detail comparing the Jewish religious calendar to our Gentile calendar, the specific dates were around September 29th was Jesus Christ born in 4 BC. So a couple of notes here, and I'll recap on the second course of Abia, because this is what we know. He was on the second course at that time. Second course of Abia, middle June, here you have Zacharias fulfilling his role as a priest in the temple. That was in June. Approximately June 24th, John the Baptist was conceived. Okay? 5 BC. Then around December 25th, 6 months old and still in mommy's womb, okay, John the Baptist jumps because Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. And that was when the angel appeared unto Mary and said, you will have the Son of God. And she says, how could this be? I know not a man. He says, well, you'll be overcome with the Holy Ghost. So Mary hangs around with Elizabeth for about 3 months until the birth of John the Baptist, which is around March 25th, 4 BC. And then 6 months later, around December 29th, 280 days later from the December 25th conception, you have Jesus Christ born on September 29th, 4 BC. Now, a lot of this proof text is in your handout. You'll be able to go back and study this. But the exciting thing, and now when I talk about the mechanics, we've spent time on the mechanics, and I know it, just like this circle can kind of make you go in loops, right? Going through this the way we did right now might get your head spinning. But the point here is that the record in Scripture, when you get in and study it to the level of detail, and you tie together the course of Abia with Zacharias, and the dating that John the Baptist, when he was born, and the time edicts that were given in Scripture, you come up with the birth of Christ on around the end of September, September 29th. And the meaning of all this, to me, is so apparent. Let's go to John chapter 1. You might say, okay, well, still, who cares? You know, we celebrate Christmas when we do, and it just doesn't matter. And okay, it was 29th, I'll give into that. But what does it really matter? Well, I think it matters because, one, it's a fact. It's the record. Two, when he came into the world, he came in as the light of man. Here we see in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Okay, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, meaning John, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and what? The world knew him not. He came into the world in the lowest possible, in the barn with the animals. You know, and I remember back when Clayton was born, I'm throwing a fit because we're in a closet, you know. How much higher I must think of ourselves versus what he thought of himself. Yet, he humbled himself to that point, and the world knew him not. So come this Friday, do you think the world's going to pause? And again, it's a testimony. The world knows him not. The world's going to be going, you know, it's Friday. It's fast-paced. It's end of the work week. Party on. Yet, that very day in heaven, they're going to have a birthday party. And the angels are going to sit around, and they're going to bake that cake, and they're going to give it to the Lord, and they're going to sing praises, and they're going to sing happy birthday, yet the world's going to completely ignore them. And they're going to work even harder to get him out of prayer in school. They're going to work even harder to get his name off our money, probably. They're going to work even harder to take him out of everything that we stand for. They're going to work hard. So, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, in verse 14, the Word was made flesh on December 25th, 5 B.C. He was conceived, and he became flesh. And we beheld his glory, the glory and the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And when the Word was made flesh, and the Word there, and dwelt among us, 280 days later, he dwelt among us. Okay. So when you read that verse 14, think of it as conception, and the Word was made flesh at conception. And 280 days later, and when he was born, he dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, in grace for grace." Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So see that gift that we are so busy about on December 25th giving. The real meaning of Christmas is the gift of God gave us his Son, that we might have eternal life, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and to be with him forever. So the mechanics of the birth of Christ, we did probably a poor job laying this out, but you've got some stuff you can go study. But the real meaning of the fact that Christ is born on a day that in today's reckoning people ignore is so apropos. So I just want to say that go back and study. It's a great story. Perhaps next week we'll look at maybe some more tradition around maybe the wise men. But on Friday, just pause and say a prayer and say a birthday prayer. And just thank him for the gift of God. So let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your Son Christ and for the gift that we have in him. And Lord, as we recount this Christmas story, here in September, it's busy, Lord. There's Olympics going on. There's football. There's so many things that are grabbing our attention. And it'd be so easy just to let this birthday go on by. Lord, we pause it. Pray that we would pause and just sing that birthday song in our heart to you, Lord. And know that not only is it the fact that you've given us this gift, your Son, that you're giving us all the presents on your birthday, Lord. What a thought that is, Lord. We really, truly understand what that means. And we just thank you for the position we have in you. For this is in Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.